All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 189 of the American Vindicta Show. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. So today I'm going to be playing the last two Doug and Dave Intel reports. I think it still bears of significance some of the things that we brought up. And I like to play the Intel reports because it gets for you to hear kind of a different side with the questioning and answering between me and my other broadcast partner, Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show. You can find a lot of our material on thecommonsenseshow.com on his podcast section, and also on thecommonsenseshow.tv, the Roku subscription channel section, which is for $3.99 a month. Make sure that you're following us on Heroes Nation. That's the Heroes Nation app. This app will be the official backup channel for the American Vindicta Show. At the rate things are going, it may end up becoming the only platform that you'll find this show on, and many other shows like mine. There's Tim Alberino on there. Dave Hodges is on there. We're trying to load up Jamie Walden and get some of his preachings and teachings on there. There's a lot of really cool stuff. A lot of my paleo research group is on there, the cave exploration stuff. On the Heroes Nation app, I'll also be having an entire section dedicated to paranormal stuff. I know a lot of you like the paranormal stuff that's out there, so eventually, once I start doing the podcast back in the wild, we'll be going out to a lot of sites and actually filming and talking about the history of these paranormal sites. I'm not going to be going around ghost hunting or demon finding, but I do find the history to be interesting. All right. A lot of stuff happening in the world. Make sure you stay trained. Make sure you stay prayed up. Make sure you still prepare accordingly for whatever doomsday environment, scenario, situation is that you're prepping for. If you need anything, you can go to mountainstatesurvival.com for your camping prepping needs. I do like Mountain State Survival. They have been with me for several months now. It's a very small business. It's ran by Jeff and his wife. And I'm telling you, you know, to support businesses like this, you support small business. And supporting small business means that your money goes right back to these individuals who can then take their company and grow it more and bring us better deals. That's really what this comes down to. Because you have to try and compete with Walmart and all these other places that just cut the prices so low that they drive everybody out of the market. And then you know what you end up doing? You end up feeding the machine. You end up feeding the wrong machine. You end up feeding the people who support all this woke bullcrap, who support the crazy protests and riots, who support communism. Don't do that. Support people like Mountain State Survival. That's mountain-state-survival.com. You can get 5% off of your overall purchase with the purchase code Wrecker5, R-E-K-K-R-5. The other one, Bob Griswold. I'm telling you right now, Bob Griswold is one of the best guys in this industry for prepping. If you don't want to buy anything from his online store, you can always call Bob and ask him, how do I need to prepare because of my health situation, my age, the area that I live in, the temperament of my weather. Bob can walk you through what the basic needs for your individual prepping needs are, and the man will do it for free, okay? The average guy who does stuff like that, you're going to be, you know, $300, $500 on a phone call for an hour. Night vision, ballistic helmets, the survival food, all the survival stuff that Bob carries in his shop, which is an incredible shop. I've been there. It's awesome. You know, this is stuff that, you know, I firmly believe you will end up using at least 90% of the stuff that you buy from Bob's store, especially with the water filtration, right? There's too many different occasions that I have grown up with, or that I have actually, been encountered with in the military or in law enforcement, when I actually needed water filtration and we just didn't have the good stuff. Or if so, you didn't have the ability to put it in your car or in your backpack. Now you do, all right? A lot of the water filtration stuff, like Big Berkey that's out there, that's some of the best stuff that you can get. Anyways, enjoy the show. See you next time.
Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here with the Doug and Dave Intel Report, Heroes Nation, our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv. And subscription service, and it's the cheapest one out there, but we're maintaining our price until September 15th. And if you have friends that want to get in, by the way, it doesn't affect you. If you're an existing annual customer, it does not affect you at all, but bandwidth has gone up. And so we have to match that because I can't afford to run this at a deficit. And this is not our moneymaker, but I think it's probably the best thing we do, because the gloves come off on this show. And we talk about having a panel of experts. Well, one half of the Doug and Dave Intel Report is an expert, DHS, Frontlines, Border, Portland, Antifa, immigration, combat veteran, military contractor, worn a lot of hats, Doug Thornton. So one of our panel of experts. We have people that come on here, though, that are alphabet soup, like he was with DHS, but they can't tell you because part of their severance agreement with the government is they can't talk about it. But rest assured, folks, the people you're hearing from on this network are who they say they are, minus they can't identify where they worked. And we run this show on the basis of here are the problems, and when possible, we try to give you solutions. But you're going to have a safer and softer landing because you're here. And I just wanted to clear the air on that. That's the purpose for this show, is preparation. Now, occasionally, we'll do something entertaining. We'll do something historical, but our major purpose here is to get you ready, because what's coming is no longer coming. It's already here, and we're going to help you navigate that. All right, Doug and I today are going to talk about a number of issues, and I'll start us off. I've got bad news, and then I've got a ray of hope, but the crisis is not over. The JCPA, it's the Journalism Competition and Protection Act. Main sponsor, Amy Klobuchar, never seen a bigger communist than her. She'd fit well into Red Square or in Beijing. Surprised she wasn't at Tiananmen Square, but she's the main sponsor. But listen to me. As we unfold this bill, I want you to realize that a man who parades as a real conservative and goes on Fox News and says all his bull crap about, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do the red wave, baby, the red wave. Yeah, well, wave goodbye to your country when you trust this guy. John Kennedy is a co-sponsor of a bill that wants to take away this show, wants to take away our radio shows, the American Vindicta Report for Doug and the Common Sense Show for me. And then, of course, the Doug and Dave Intel Report. They want to do away with everybody, and they want to license all shows and all broadcasters. License, really? License for free speech? You have to have a license now for free speech. And Klobuchar has said that you can be eliminated because you engage in misinformation, false expertise, and, of course, hate speech. These are all the euphemisms they use to ban people that they disagree with, even when your statements are scientifically backed. This is the elimination of the alternative media. Now, there's a ray of hope. There's been some consternation raised by people like Josh Hawley and yours truly. I've been all over this. Ladies and gentlemen, she pulled the bill from vote on Friday morning. She pulled the bill. That doesn't mean she's not going to bring it back, but she realized this had no chance of passing because of the attention being brought to it. You people in Louisiana, you have a traitorous jackass as your senator. John Kennedy is a traitorous rhino and let's call him what he is, because if he wants to eliminate the alternative media, that means he's one of them. Doug, any reaction to this story?
Well, you know, half my family's from Louisiana. So, you know, and half my family's from Texas. So I kind of take claim on both lands. Always liked Kennedy. Kennedy was always a hard charger on the politics, and he always rifled the feathers with the Democrats and whoever it is that they tried bringing up, you know, to get voted in or to be interviewed by Congress. He was always, you know, hot on people's tail. But, you know, why would you sign this bill knowing what is going to happen with the bill? That's the thing. They know what this bill is going to do. The bill is going to take guys like me and you off the air. You know, this bill would have took Rush Limbaugh off the air. This bill will take Alex Jones off the air. And, you know, love him or hate him, I would still listen to Alex Jones over anyone on Fox News, over anyone on CNN. And, hey, you know, no offense, Tucker, but you work for a communist news agency at this point. You know, we really need to deal with the problem that's in our face. And right now, it's the damn politicians. They have gone absolute crazy. And anything that we can use in our country as a form of self-defense, either you know, through First Amendment or Second Amendment, they're coming after it, buddy. They're coming after all of it. Because what they want is for Doug Thornton and Dave Hodges to go back to what we were used to doing. They want me to go back to being a cop again, so I'll shut up and won't have a voice. They want Dave to go back to being a coach again, so he'll shut up and won't have a voice. The thing that they fear is people like you and I, who are, you know, experts in our industry. We've been around for some time, and we are, you know, slightly influential, I guess, but we know a lot of people within both of our businesses and within other businesses. And because we know what we know, and because we're not afraid to say what we know, they fear the hell out of us. Just understand, in Nazi Germany, it was Joseph Goebbels who you had to go and get a license from in order to be a what? A journalist. Just a journalist. You had to get a license from Nazi government, from the actual SS. And if you had a radio station, guess what it was completely taken over for, and you were not allowed to play anything that wasn't Reichstag approved. So where are we going, America? You know, I mean, it wasn't a few years ago whenever they tried to take down all the ham radios that were in California. You know, they are systematically hitting anything that can be of command and control and communication. Dave, there's another side of this. It's not just the fact that you and I are trying to make a living as commentators, because I think most commentators suck and the Doug and Dave Intel Report's the best out there. But it's the fact that, you know, the radio waves from terrestrial to digital, that is a command and control feature for people to get information out to the would-be troops, to get information out to the American people, the patriots, the preppers, the Christians, whomever it is that is being targeted. I take it as the same thing as to what happened in all these other states or countries that had dictators. They want to cut all command and control, and then they cut the food, and then you have to come to them or you have to fight them. And either way, it works for their favor.
Yeah, let me go to my note here on this, the cut the food aspect of it. Breaking news here. And if you've been following me on YouTube, you know I've covered this extensively. There's a pending railroad strike on September 16th. Federal mediators aren't doing jack squat. I'm hearing from the railroad guys because I've addressed this issue, so I'm their outlet. And I'm getting a lot of information. The railroad management's almost like they want to force a strike. One guy literally had to almost quit his job to go to his wife's funeral. I kid you not. And there's these kind of repetitive abuses that management won't even look at. And the mediators, which, by the way, they're violating family law in some cases. The mediators for the federal government are no-shows. They don't show up to half the sessions when they're supposed to be there. So you can count on the fact there's probably going to be a railroad strike on September 16th. But Doug, what's interesting about this, people don't realize this. First of all, first fact, and a lot of people relax because it's not that much in their mind. It's significant. 28% of all freight in America is moved by train. However, according to the Department of Transportation 2021 figures, 62% of all food and agriculture moved by train. That's about ready to stop. And when you couple that with the accidental burn downs, destructions of food processing plants, well over 100 now since Biden's come into office, we're up against it. Then you got the supply chain problem. You got the pricing problem. You've got the diesel fuel problem for the trucks. Gas is now on the way up. It went up 20 cents in one day here in the metropolitan Phoenix area. 20 cents in one day. And it went from, what was it, $3.79 to $3.99. Some places are back over $4. I heard from economists gas was going to start rising in September, and it has. So we're up against it, Doug. We got a huge, huge problem here with regard to food. And then one more. You want to talk about India?
Yeah, let me talk about the railroad thing real quick. And just on the gas prices, I was coming back from the active shooter training that I was giving at Ready Made Resources in Teleco Plains, Tennessee. And, you know, the gas was expensive in DFW as it was in Tennessee. It's about $3.40 where you go. And crossing into Arkansas, it dropped down to $3.05. I was pissed. All right, so I have a friend of mine who is he's a trucker. He's a former Army Ranger, he's a good guy. His name is Todd. He's out there in Virginia, and he has been keeping me updated with the railroad thing. He actually brought it to me first before I found out. And you know what's interesting is he said that natural gas and coal are also on the railroad to the power plants.
That's right. Exactly right.
And that reminds me, whenever I still worked for DHS on the East Coast, a lot of the nuclear plants, a lot of the energy plants are out there. I've been on those railroad tracks, you know, helping out with railroad police. And it is so vast how many come in and out to keep these reactors going. You know, just to keep the natural gas plants going, to keep the coal factories going for heating. So, you know, you take down the railroad, not only does the food stop, potable water stops, the energy stops. Gasoline, petroleum products, diesel, that's all moved also by the truckers ever since we started to shut down all the pipelines. So, you know, 2 months of not having truckers can grossly affect this country. And this is what him and his crew that he works with are they're all kind of thinking right now, because on the East Coast, I guess they got a pretty good vibe on all this. They are thinking right now that it's not a joking matter, that it's actually very, very serious, and that when the strike happens on the 16th, that it can actually shut down the economy. And we can actually have a flashpoint in Wall Street and start to see that huge plummet begin. And you know what? It would only make sense for that to begin around the end of September to October. You know, we have the new fiscal year coming. And then now they have a new talking point for November for the Democrats. Now they can rush to get things approved. Now they can start blaming stuff on all the Republicans. And I still stand firm that by February, March, we're probably going to have a depression. It's probably going to be announced America's officially in a depression, not a recession.
I think it's going to be sooner, Doug. I do.
It might very well be. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's going to be a lot sooner than March. We're teetering on depression right now. We have depression type numbers. And so many facets of our economy are failing. But the main thing I would point to right now is that if diesel fuel continues to rise, in which it is again, and the truckers tell me when it reaches $8 a gallon, they're done. They said they can't break even.
Yep.
And if that happens, plus the train strike, nothing is moving in this country. Nothing. And this is a shipping economy. So, ladies and gentlemen, you won't have a job to go to. You won't even be able to get gas, much less afford gas. And Doug, the other thing that people don't realize is it takes diesel fuel with the trucks to bring the gasoline to market for the cars. And what does this administration want us out of? They want us out of our cars. This is deliberate, deliberate, people. They're deliberately crashing the economy so they can build back better according to the tenets of the World Economic Forum. How do you like eating cockroaches?
Well, I got a report I want to read just real quick before we move to India on the dollar. So this is coming from Epoch News. Dollar set for weekly fall as euro bounces on the ECB hike. Mm-hmm. So in London, the dollar was on track for its first weekly fall in four on Friday as a hawkish rate hike from the European Central Bank lifted the euro and investors looked to U.S. inflation data early next week. The dollar lost ground across the board with the dollar index, which tracks the greenback against six major peers, falling as much as 1.1% on the day. It was last down 0.7% at 108.77 cents, so $108.77, and is set for a 0.8% fall or weekly fall, weekly, not 1 week, weekly. Among the big gainers was the euro, which leaped at which leapt as much as 1.2% to a 3 week high. And so this is what's interesting is we're playing this game right now with the economy, and a lot of this is based off of actually what's going on with Russia. All right, so as Nord Stream is cutting down and you have all these countries that are having to get a lot of their revenue from other sources, once Russia cuts off that oil, what do a lot of investors go to? Everything else and anything else. The problem is in America is that our investors are sending our fuel to Europe. So Europe is getting more fuel. That means Europe can run more machines. Europe can put more people at work. The moment we stop having the ability to send anything out, and we also aren't going to produce more in America, jobs are going to start being lost. Manufacturing is going to start going down. GDP is going to start going down. And then the index of the dollar is just going to start plummeting. And it's not manufactured at that point. That's just basic old economics. If you're not working, you're not making money. You know, so Joe Biden is literally has our economy on a kamikaze run right now. And it's like nobody can stop this madman from trying to kill the country. What say you?
I couldn't have said it any better than you just said it. I 100% am in agreement with you. America, and I said this, holds the key to European survival. Millions are going to die throughout Europe without gas, and Putin's pulling the plug. And it's not just Biden. I want people to understand this is an international conspiracy by administrations who many of them have been trained by Klaus Schwab and their Young Global Leaders program. And I've detailed that on many shows I've done on YouTube. I'm surprised they don't censor that, but they haven't. But Doug, the thing I would point to is this, is that the Europeans are selling their own people out because Putin's made it clear, keep supporting Ukraine in the war, and we're going to cut everything off this winter. So the Europeans, rather than doing what they should be doing, is worrying about the self-preservation of their people, their ability to heat their homes and cook food this winter. They're saying, screw you, population. You're just going to have to ration, and we're going to continue to do this. And this is also Biden. Biden provoked the Ukraine war. I've said this many times in other forums. I haven't said it here, but he provoked it. They put the missiles, the S-4 missiles, pointed at Moscow. They were arming the Ukrainian border 400 miles from Moscow. And then they started talking NATO with Ukraine. Well, that's war talk. And Putin, I don't think he handled it well. He allowed himself to be provoked into a conflict that's now a quagmire for him. But nonetheless, Biden has never engaged in de-escalation talks. It's only been warlike rhetoric, because he wants this war to expand, number one. Number two, he wants to destroy Europe, and he knows the best way to do it. Doug, it's going to sound like I'm bragging, and I'm not. this strategy by Russia is so painfully obvious. I wrote about it on the commonsenseshow.com in 2014. 2014, I predicted, now this isn't going to happen, but this is how I saw it then. I said, Russia's going to cut off the gas to NATO nations, and I expect Germany and France to join the Russian Empire. And that was my prediction. Now, it doesn't look like Germany and France are going to do that, but I called it 8 years ago that this crisis was going to come to Europe. That's how obvious it was. And we could be producing oil right now to save Europe. Biden doesn't want to save Europe. He is in the business of being a stooge for Klaus Schwab and collapsing the entire Western economy.
Well, everything about that is detrimental, not just to the economy, but to the sanctity of your nation. Because when you don't have fuel, you don't have food. When you don't have food, people aren't going to go to work. Oh, by the way, when you don't have fuel, you can't have power. So people aren't going to be able to go to work. And right now, there is a huge increase in Europe of businesses. There's been a report, I think it's within the last 2 years since COVID started, that thousands of businesses have reported themselves as bankrupt and completely closed and not reopened. So that means that when you did have COVID relief money coming in, when you did have the insurance from the government paycheck, that little stipend that they sent you that they always want you to pay back twice the amount, this is now getting to the point where the government's not going to pay you anymore to just sit on your butt and do nothing. And by the way, your job's not there anymore. So whatever your professionalism was, now you need to find a new career. That's hard for a lot of people, especially guys that are subject matter experts. So, you know, with all that, you know what also goes up? Crime. When crime goes up, terrorism also goes up. So the volatility and instability that is Europe. I mean, besides the fact, you know, Bob Griswold when we just did our interview for yesterday, they just had a complete Gangs of New York style fight in London. Did you hear about this? Over 100 people were out in the street fighting with machetes. Who the hell does that?
You know, a country that doesn't have guns.
You take away the guns, people find knives. Take away the knives and they'll make spears and bow and arrows. Then they'll start killing each other with their cars. It'll be mass gangs like in Palestine. And they're throwing fist-sized rocks and fireworks that'll be spray-painted in glue and then rolled into freaking broken glass. You know, you are not going to stop the ingenuity of murder. But you can help to back that up by hitting the relief valve on the economy. The economy literally does drive a lot of these traumatic things. The economy is one of the things that drove World War II and World War I. You know, it wasn't just the assassination of Archduke Ferdinand, which I think is the reason why we're all here right now, but it also has a lot to do with the economy. You know, I mean, when you have tens of thousands of young men who cannot have a job, they will form a gang. Now, that could either be a criminal gang or whatnot, but they will find ways of clinging together to make money. And with this economy, and especially with as just crazy as Europe has gotten, because of all the mass migration that has happened or invasion that has happened from the Middle East and African nations, I mean, this is not the hub of intellect anymore. You know, no. This is not the hub of philosophers anymore. This has become almost a wasteland. You know, I look at London right now, and when they used to call it London Stan, I laughed, right? Because I've been to places, I'm like, you guys think London's bad? Go to some of the places I've been to. Now I'm starting to say, maybe they're really right when they say London Stan. You know, at that point, I did a little bit of research. I haven't found in Iraq or in Afghanistan or in Syria, three places our country and their countries have all been at war at, where there was a melee fight of 100 subjects with machetes yet. So, London, you're leading in that. You're beating the Middle East in violence. Good job.
I know. I hear you. folks, that kind of brings us to a nexus. And India is not going to be exporting rice. I don't think there's much we can say about that, Doug, except for the fact that we're not going to get relief with exports. And also, too, things aren't going to be shipped. China is shutting down. By the way, this is something that we should bring up. I have a lot of sources. I mean, a lot of economic sources are saying the same thing. In the third week of September, China will have to declare bankruptcy. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't heard it yet. But
economists I could quote right now. That they asked me. One of them said, you can come out and talk about it. And it's Bob Kudla. He's basically saying China's in huge trouble economically. He had the most passive prediction when I talked to him on August the 26th. I interviewed Bob. No, yeah, 26th, sorry, of August. I talked off the record to four other economists, and they're basically saying the same thing. A couple of them are real dire. One guy said to me, Dave, you've reported on this. Why do you think they have the tanks guarding the banks? And I said, yeah, that's true. It was in the news. He said, that's why. China's not going to be shipping what we need here. That's my point, Doug. China's not going to be shipping what we need here.
Let me give you two factors on this. For one thing, the run on the banks by the people of China, and then they completely cut off four of the major banks, and it was estimated between 1.4 billion and like 4.3 billion, if I have those figures correct. That is the amount of assets that the bank has now forfeitured from all the people that were debtors or creditors to the bank. So once again, this is what happens, and this can happen in America. Don't think this can't. The Congress has already given themselves the power and the law many, many decades ago in order to seize assets that are in your savings account, checking account, yes, your Roth IRA, anything in the stock markets. They can seize it, liquidate it to pay off U.S. debt, and then they send you an IOU. So that is what's happened in China, yet I don't think the customers of the banks are going to get an IOU. I think they're going to get it's for the party. It's for the betterment of the party. That's the communism in them, right? Here's the other thing, is with this big run on the banks, it's showing a weakness in China that they didn't want to be shown, which I think with the fragility of the BRICS nation trying to, bring itself back up out of the ashes, if China wants to become the number one economy in the world, well, then they're going to have to go to the IMF, and then they have to challenge the petrodollar. You're not going to do that if you declare a worldwide bankruptcy for your nation. That takes you from here of negotiating with us to bam down here. So, this will grossly affect China's economy, and this is also one potential for why we could see a very sporadic war happen, because money is always generated very quickly in war, always. And all China would have to do is tap the various countries that owes its money to them for the Brick and Road project, and then say, hey, due to X, Y, and Z exigent circumstances, we need half of what you owe us to be sent to us now.
No, I agree. There's a related issue here too. Well, let me be real clear. You need to go vote, and you need to encourage everybody to vote. We need to force the overwhelming numbers. 80% of this country is not going to vote for the Biden people. I don't care what the polls say. It's not going to happen. But if we don't vote, they can steal the election that much easier. But Doug, along those lines here too, because we've got a real dire situation we've identified very thoroughly. But I want to bring up another situation, and I'm going to introduce this, Doug, by talking about what I heard last night when I was driving out on Pee Wee's Big Adventure to go help a family member last night. I was listening to the Glenn Beck show, and he had a guest host on, did a good job. I don't know who the guy was, but he did a really good job. he had on a gentleman who is involved in Michigan voter fraud. He has a lawsuit right now towards this. And here's what's really interesting, Doug. None of the voting machines in Michigan have been certified. That's state law. They're not certified. He discovered this. They tried to conceal it. He demanded Freedom of Information documents. Now, as part of discovery, they had to show this. None of the Dominion voting machines are certified, period. And also, in the three voting districts in the county in which he resides, and this is where he's featuring the lawsuit, these three counties had 104% of the people that voted in the 2020 election. In addition, this is the same thing we found in Wisconsin, by the way. And also, too, the average figure in Michigan for voting is 63% of the population. But listen to this. This is big news. I want to get your reaction to this. This is from the Associated Press. Hello, you mainstream fact checkers. This is from one of your own. Listen to this, Doug. I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs here. A group of computer and election security experts is urging Georgia election officials to replace the state's touchscreen voting machines with hand-marked paper ballots ahead of the November midterm election, citing there are serious threats posed by apparent breaches of voting equipment. And then they go on to say these 13 experts on Thursday sent a letter to members of the state election board and to Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who's as dirty as the day is long. He is who's a non-member voting member of the board. It urges them to immediately stop using Dominion. It also suggests they mandate a particular type of post-election audit on the outcome of all races on the ballot. So when you take Michigan and what's current right now in Michigan's this lawsuit, and when you take this, we can't vote our way out of this unless we get these changes. But Doug, if we could get 85, 90% of the people to vote who are conservative, it would present a monumental problem for the cheaters to steal the election.
I think we should absolutely go to paper ballots. In fact, I actually went down this theoretical of mine a couple times on my show. I think if we were going to do this, honestly, one of the things that we should probably start to look into is when you're going to vote, you, for one, should have to have an ID.
Imagine that. Jim Crow 2.0, baby. You're a racist for saying that. Excuse me, officer, you can't ask me for my ID, even though I'm going 85 and a 65. Because that's Jim Crow 2.0. Can you imagine that, Doug?
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Try not to identify me on the road.
To take your butt to jail.
Yeah. You'll be ripped out of your car. That's what happens. And it's funny when it happens to the sovereign citizens because, you know, they always think that, I read a manual in a law book that shows me how to cheat the system. They're stupid. So this is what's interesting about this. I think we should have to have an ID to vote. And you know, a lot of the investigations that you've done on the fraud that's out there in Arizona, it shows people that even with the system working 120%, there's still enough snakes in the den to make it not worth going down. You know, there's still enough people that work in this system that can guarantee a system failure. Even whenever everybody does what's right, you have the people that are punching the numbers that then will recalibrate the machines, right? Or they'll put in phony numbers. They'll take, oh, these were all the Democrats. We'll run these four times, right? And you don't know. All we can do is say, well, we guess and we anticipate the election results and that everything went the way it did. And, you know, this is the safest election yet. Every election, they say that this is the safest election yet.
Bullshit. Because here's the deal. Okay. And it is bullshit. So I'm not going to excuse my language here. It's exactly what it is. It's the most safe and secure election ever. But if you dare say anything, we'll ruin you. We'll get you fired. We'll eliminate you from social media and we'll ostracize you. Doug, bullshit. Bullshit to this. Seriously.
This is, I think, is the time when people should really be pressing into their law enforcement officials more than ever.
Yeah, I agree.
I would be holding town hall events as many times as possible, calling out my local law enforcement to enforce the law. How strange is that, right? To enforce the voting law, which, by the way, you can and will be arrested for if you're caught cheating. But unless it's 2,000 Mules or Project Veritas doing months and months and months of research and undercover work, all these people get away with it, man. And Project Veritas can't be everywhere at once. And God bless what those people do, man. I think they're revolutionizing the way Americans should act and react toward a corrupt government. But
they've revitalized investigative journalism, where that's a lost art in the mainstream media. There's no investigative journalists in the mainstream media. They're propaganda artists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is what I think should happen. I think you should be given a paper ballot. Okay. This is actually, just randomly grab this. This is my old rules of engagement card from Iraq when I first went there. So what you should be doing is you should be given your voting card along with your ID. And then just as quickly as I can run a NCIC, I should be able to run, is this you on your ID, right? So an NCIC, that's a criminal background check. So I verified this is you. This is your voting card that you're issued, and it should be issued to the point that it should be a standard issue. It should actually have a nomenclature to it. You know, like just with every dollar bill, it has a serial number to it. This should have a serial number to it. And then whatever law enforcement officer, who I think is the one who should give it to you after you've been verified, should initial their name. Okay, I've initialed that you have been given it. All right, you go and you vote. And then here's a box. And before you put it in the box, that law enforcement officer should grab it and make the second initial. I gave it to you. You filled it out. I signed it. It's now going in the box. You know what that's called? That's called a chain of custody. That's what we do with anything with evidence. And if it's good enough for the court, if it's good enough for the FBI, the DEA, DHS, CIA, Department of Justice, state and locals, why is it not good enough and simple enough for a process for us to use as civilians? It's a simple chain of custody, because now what it says is that if there's anything that's a problem with your voting ID, or, you know, with your voting card, I signed it that said that it's good. I verified that it's good. It's not been tampered, doesn't have any holes in it, hasn't been filled in. And then you signed it saying that, you know, it was good, hasn't been tampered. You voted. I signed it saying that you're done. And now it's being submitted into a box that no one can pull it out of. Tell me that we can't trust that system.
No, we couldn't.
Yeah, you could. You know why? Because the freaking Supreme Court trusts that system. If the courts trust it, it is available. But instead, Dave, what they want is this thing to be your new voting card. They're already trying to make it so you just text who you want to vote for. Who's ever got a spam caller? You trust the spam caller? Absolutely not. It's ridiculous.
I hear you. Well, we've done identification of two good issues today. One is the food's in big trouble, and along with that is obviously the gas, and that brings the food to you. That's in real jeopardy now with the railroad strike, what India's doing, on and on and on and on. China's ready to collapse. And then, of course, we hit voting. And I think we've presented some pretty good solutions here for people to get involved. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're involved in right now is a war, and this is not a spectator sport. This is a participant sport. And if we choose to sit on the sidelines, we get the government we deserve. If we allow the Democrats to retain power through November and on to next year, this is the last chance that we will have to turn things around short of violence.
Hey, real quick on this, we forgot to mention India. India is just announced that they're not going to be sending their rice reserve stocks exported to other countries. They are actually retaining it for fear that their country may actually need it. They will send out two different forms of rice, but it's not like the usual form that everyone gets. So if other countries start following this, we could be in trouble really fast.
That's okay. Klaus Schwab will send us bugs.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be okay. Well, Doug, glad we got through this. Ladies and gentlemen, I think we fulfilled our mission here. Now it's up to you, as well as Doug and myself, to become active people. I make calls. I write letters. I do future broadcasts all the time. So does Doug. Please join us, because this is our last chance. Everybody needs to vote. We need to overwhelm the system to where cheating becomes really, really difficult. Because if we have, let's say in this next election, they have 100 million total people vote for Democrats, then we know the fix is in, and it's easy to prove. And I'm telling you, this is our last chance to do it peacefully. And I'm not optimistic. Doug, thanks for your participation in this, the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just remind you that the Mike Lindell people, who have voter integrity, they like what we have done with voter integrity, and they are making available to you half price everything at mystore.com with the coupon code using my name. That clues them in. You're the audience, and you'll see the list there on the computer of all the products they're offering with those great reductions. So I'm glad that we could bring that to you. Thank Mike Lindell, because Mike Lindell and I are joined at the hip, because we know how corrupt our elections are. All right, Doug, I'll catch up with you later for the next Doug and Dave Intel Report.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position. Really, for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Mountain State Survival covers your basis for your planning, prepping, evacuation, bugging in, or bugging out needs. They carry anything from educational material, camping supplies, emergency services supplies, food, first aid, survival kit and equipment, shooting gear, survival gear, tactical gear. They carry it all. They got it in stock. Give Mountain State Survival a ring. That's mountain-state-survival.com. Get this type of supplies while you still can. 304-517-6935. Mountain State Survival is one of the only places that I know of currently that is still carrying the delicious Peak Refuel meal that is ready to eat. It's personally the only thing that I eat at this point whenever I go out camping whenever we have any type of emergency or disaster situation, that is the meal that I stick with. And you can find that at mountain-state-survival.com. Use Rekker5 for a 5% discount on your overall purchase. That's Rekker5, mountainstatesurvival.com.
Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of the CommonSenseShow.tv, Heroes Nation, and a bunch of other outlets here. We're really glad to be with you, glad to bring you this information. We are up against dire times because, personally, I don't think the Democrats are going to let this election come off. I think they're provoking war with Russia. One thing I told Mike Adams today when I was on his show, I said, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't let a nuke off. He agreed with me. And go to martial law, take the guns, not have an election, start war with Russia. And we're going to talk about Ukraine in that light. But first, for my broadcast partner here, Doug Thornton, former Marine Corps veteran, combat veteran, former contractor, military contractor, and former DHS on the front lines in Portland and on the border, as well as other places. Doug, I want to ask you a question. I had Adam Hartage on. I really, really like this guy. He did Black Ops. He can't talk about very much of it, as you understand why. And he just said, I did bad things to bad people, and it was very covert. And I asked him this question. When it comes time, and I think the Democrats may resort to this, when it comes time to start concentration camp removals, a purge of MAGA people they've labeled as domestic terrorists, will the military go along with it? Let me give you his answer, then I want to get yours. And this is just an opinion. Doesn't mean anyone's right or wrong. But Adam said, yes, they'll go along with it 100% because any of the officers that would have stood up and said no to this have long been purged from the military. What's your opinion on that topic?
Well, I mean, so there's actual government documentation to back that. Rex 84, Operation Garden Plot. Operation Garden Plot and Rex 84 actually involves not so much as in the main portion of our military, but actually using the National Guard in a form of policing. So in a sense, could I see the National Guard being used to come in and backfill law enforcement, maybe even carry out warrants for the governor? Possibility. Yeah. I mean, you got to break it down like this. Everybody thinks in these terms of laws and rights and wrongs, and constitutional this and Bill of Rights that. And trust me, I'm right there with you. I'm a constitutionalist. I love my Bill of Rights. I love my country. When it breaks bad, these politicians can do whatever they want from the power of the pen. So if they sign into law, you shall do this, well, whatever agencies or military, gets assigned that task, they shall do it. See, there's a thing when the military, or let me say it like this, when the government tells you shall, that means you absolutely will do this, right? So if they're signing any legalese documents that says, you know, you shall go door by door and, you know, check for vaccine status, they will go do it. That's a order. And the military loves to follow orders, sometimes even the most stupid and senseless ones. But I think it's always a... I see the military as always either handling areas where law enforcement's not or backing up law enforcement, because what you could also do is deputize. So I've been deputized by, you know, various law enforcement agencies to work underneath their jurisdiction, to work underneath their authority. So, you know, more or less what it is we would have one local guy assigned to us. And then there'd be five or six of us. And that was always for the ability to process people and use the local courts. So we'll use, you know, their ticket book or whatever, you know, judicial process we need. I could see the military falling in the same way. If they're having to get warrants to go and arrest people to bring them to the FEMA camp or wherever it is, MaxVax center, because I think there's actually a very good chance that at least one portion of the country could eventually not be coerced but forced to get vaccinated. And I think at that point in time, the military would be brought in. By the military, I do mean the National Guard, because that doesn't break posse comitatus. So I think the National Guard would be brought in order to do that. The National Guard, it's really the military or militia of the governor. Depending on what state you're in, that could really screw you over. Obviously, the Democratic states, you're kind of screwed. But even in some Republican states, you know, don't always think you're safe just because you live in a red state. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Okay. Give me a percentage guess, ballpark only, I know, of soldiers that would extricate Americans from their homes and put them in concentration camps.
I think that depends on the scenario. If it is World War III, I don't think the military would be doing that because there'd be other more important things. And I think that's where the federal government would step in. And, you know, because of the fog of war and the chaos of a world war, not too many people are probably going to be paying too much attention to that. Plus, also during that time, you can completely shut down communications and the internet and TV, so you can hide it very well. I think giving a very, very serious time, most of the military will do it. I think given a practically easy time, I don't know. It really comes down to, are you going to follow orders, even if you like it or not? And that's really, you know, I don't care what people say, and a lot of veterans may agree or disagree with me when I say this, but, you know, when you're 18, 19, and you're young and dumb and you're given an order, if you don't go through with that, you're going to get the crap beat out of you for it, most likely, or, you know, you're going to have some sort of a negative counseling. So, you know, a lot of times through the fear and intimidation of reprisal, most people are just going to go through with what they're doing. I know everyone beats their chest and rah-rah is patriot, but that's not realism. That's not realistic. Once again, hey, Hurricane Katrina, you know, the National Guard and the Sheriff's Department from the parishes, you know, they were going around and they were disarming random people. Not, you know, I mean, just like an entire area of people were being disarmed. I think it was in Lake Pontchartrain. So, you know, I think the ability is there as long as they make the threat very persuasive. If you make the threat persuasive, as in, you know, things start to break bad, military convoy gets attacked. Doesn't have to be a full-blown attack. It could be a sniper attack, which is something we were very, very used to and trained to. One shot, you never get positive identification, and then the intelligence guys can make up whatever story they want, and then they can just run with it, right? That's the kind of stuff that worries me, because, you know, the military will follow what the intelligence tells them. You know, if I don't have intelligence, I'll tell you the way we operated in Iraq. When we didn't have the intelligence driving a mission, well, we just loaded up and walked around and looked for a fight. You know, I mean, but that's what Iraq was. Same thing for Afghanistan. I personally never been to Afghanistan. I went to Iraq 3 times. So, you know, it was walking around and looking for a fight. You know, sometimes you wish you'd get it, and sometimes you just wish you'd be left alone for the next month. I think that's the driver, is the intelligence. I don't really think if it comes down to officers or NCOs. I think people are so well conditioned within the military now that they'll gladly do it. Now, there is hope. There is hope. But the amount of people who refuse to take the vaccine and they're forced to get out, that does give me hope, Dave, that at least a majority of them are still thinking for themselves. However, if all the guys who say screw the shot got out, well, then what are we left with? The compliant ones?
You're right about that. Do you know the percentage of fired military? Do you have a guess?
I know that a federal judge stopped the Marine Corps. But the Marine Corps had proposed up to 30,000 Marines were going to be discharged from service. 30,000.
What's the size of the Marine Corps today? Do you know?
100,000. 170,000, maybe.
Wow. Let me see if we get a quick answer here on a search engine. Size of today's, because I'm looking for a percentage for a reason I'll make clear. $177,000 active duty.
That was close.
So 30 is about 30,000 is about 1 in 6.
So a federal judge had came out a couple weeks ago and actually halted the Marine Corps from going through with this. But there's always a workaround. You know, there's always a workaround. Hey, man, we've seen lately with this government, even if a federal judge says you can't go and do this, the Biden administration still goes and does it. So
you're right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
Nobody respects the rule of law.
So let me go back to two things. Jade Helm 16 and Robin Sage last year. The government forces under Obama, now Biden, organized specifically for the purpose of this drill. Let me just explain who they hired. They hired people to play disaffected ex-American military who are now labeled as guerrilla chieftains. Okay? And it was true. A little different language in Robin Sage than Jade Helm. I quoted the Jade Helm job description. But effectively, it was the same. Let me just say this. Obviously, the government's concerned or two Democratic presidents wouldn't have conducted a major drill like this. Would you agree with that?
So Robin Sage is one of the ending training drills for the special forces when they're going through their Q course, their qualification course.
Yeah.
It's a immersion training, a realistic training with role players in actual missions, and, you know, carries on for a period of days. So when I hear Robin Sage, even though it's strange to, you know, to make it to where the guerrilla chieftains have this. Let me say it like this. Robin Sage is a normal drill. You know, for anybody in the infantry, you know, you're going to go through something fairly similar to Robin Sage at some point in time with scenario-based training. However, it's the fact that they make it, you know, this whole patriotic thing. You know, they make Robin Sage, they make Jade Helm, you know, about the American guerrilla warfare. And, you know, that's either just bad writing from the people in the Op4 community for the different battalions. And you know, they're writing up the training, or it's politically biased. And I think it's a lot of it's politically biased because it puts things into the minds. You know, it was a long time ago, but I remember we were joking about how, America and China were always at this beef, right? So we made this joke, and I can't remember. I think we were actually talking to some rock marines from Korea, and those are absolutely insane, crazy guys. And we're like, does China like make video games about Americans being the bad guys? Because we always make video games about the Chinese and the Russians being the bad guys. And they said, actually, yeah. Said actually, they have been training their entire military that Americans are bad in all of their training drills.
Yeah, just not soldiers either, civilians.
Civilians as well, in their training drills. They're not targeting Hamas or ISIS or the Al-Qaeda or Taliban or the Ruskies. They're fighting Americans and they're training scenario-based training stuff. So what does that tell you? Right? So long story short, I see these training events as the way to whittle down people's perception of what is right and what is wrong, and then just, numbing people to following orders and then seeing who actually does and who doesn't, who does the sidebar bitching and complaining about, oh, why are we fighting against Tommy and Susie and little Billy when it's, Muhammad and Ivan and Xi Jinping that we should be worrying about. And those sidebar conversations, they're getting wrote down. There's an instructor somewhere who's writing down sidebar conversations. What did this student say? What did that student say? What did they not say? How did they react? I've been to classes like that where the instructors will write down everything that you do and you say. So that's kind of my opinion on it. I see the necessity for Robin Sage. I don't see the necessity for Jade Helm. And once again, Robin Sage, that's a very old program. I think it gets the wrong type of limelight. It's Jade Helm. Jade Helm. That's the one that is getting the insufficient amount of cable time. Just like Grid X, right? Grid X1 and Grid X2. You almost never hear about that anymore. But Grid X is more important, in my opinion, than Jade Helm was. Because with
Well,
Jade
tell
Helm.
people what Grid X was in case they're not sure.
Well, let me finish with Jade Helm. Jade Helm was, if you have people that are from whatever military background, and now they're going after American guerrilla chieftains. So now we're talking about obviously militia. That's what we're really talking about, is militia. Well, it wasn't just militia, but it was cutting off the heads of states that refused to comply or go into compliance with the United States government from Washington, D.C. So that's where you had more or less the decapitation drills, which is where you go and you take out the high command. That was part of Jade Helm. The other part, Grid X. When we invite literally our enemies, our political enemies from Russia and from China and from other countries to come and see how our infrastructure works, how you can take our infrastructure down during a simulated grid down scenario, and then even invite them into installations and let them see our response procedures. Would you let Iran do that? Would you walk the Taliban through a nuclear power plant and tell them, oh yeah, this is the button that makes it explode? No. So
No.
why the hell would we allow the Chinese and the Russians to do it? And that was Obama, right? Obama literally sold us down the Yellow River. And Biden, I'll tell you this much, Biden's worse. Everything that Obama did, Biden is worse than Obama.
Well, it's his handlers, who also is Obama.
Well, I agree, but I think Biden really has a lot to do with the planning because he's very malicious. We're talking about a guy who's a pedophile, right? We're talking about a guy who's a rapist. His son's a rapist. His son's a pedophile. His son is into incest. that entire family might as well just come out and just say that they're satanic at some point, right? These are the people we deal with. And anyone who says, oh, well, Doug's going a little too far with saying Joe Biden's satanic. Look at who the man is hiring. All right. The head of NERC, Nuclear Regulatory Committee, is a trans, I don't know what, who likes to dress other men up as dogs and walk them and have sexual relations with them as dogs. Bestiality, right? Okay. And he has a weird-ass mustache, wears lipstick and a dress all the time, and he's bald. Okay, so that freak show. Head of the Nuclear Regulatory Committee. The spokesperson for the White House is a lesbian. Outright hardcore leftist. And half the time an idiot who can't make a complete sentence. Look at the new guy for Monkeypox. All right, the new director for Monkeypox. A devout gay homosexual Satanist. A devout Satanist, Dave. You know, I mean, there's no way you can't look at this government and say we are a reprobate nation. There is no way to not say it at this point. The other one that first came out was the guy who pretends he's a girl. He looks like the Penguin from the original Batman. These are the people that Joe Biden surrounds himself with. These are the people that Joe Biden says, this is what I want the world to view America as, because these people will travel to other countries as ambassadors for you and I, and then you're going to have the Ruskies and the Talibans and the Iranians and the freaking Indians and everybody else, you know, looking at these freak shows going, okay, we're not going to take America serious anymore. Would you bring a bunch of men wearing dresses and then a guy who openly walks around walking a man as a dog, and then another guy who's a complete devout Satanist to the Parliament of Britain? I wouldn't. I absolutely wouldn't. But that's Joe Biden's people. You know, and I will say this. Obama didn't, even if Obama is a part of all that, he probably is. He didn't surround
his Bathhouse Barry is what they call him.
That's right. I forgot about that. But he didn't surround himself with open freak shows. Maybe America wasn't ready for it yet, right? But he didn't surround himself with that. Joe Biden openly does it. Openly does it. That's what I'm saying. The country is like,
well, his press secretary.
Yeah, I mean, we're
as
on the
weird as they come.
We are on the downhill slope of the roller coaster.
Yeah, let me throw a couple things in, okay? With Robin Sage, my understanding, there's the ongoing training, which is largely Special Forces graduate school.
Yes.
That's what I've been told. But then there's also whatever they want it to be at the time they need it. And what we're talking about with the Robin Sage drill that took place, it was about putting down insurrection in the ranks of former military. So there's no question. I'm 100% confidence calling this 100%. That tells me they're worried about it. And you're saying the same thing that Adam Hartage said, and you're both saying it from a similar perspective, and I can't disagree with you. You're there. You've been part of this, and you understand command structure. The one thing I would say, though, is they got 30,000 out of 177,000 Marines that are saying up your nose with a rubber hose, and they may not be compliant, and they may form some kind of guerrilla force. You've also got, 2 to 3 million Americans that are a fighting age, that are veterans. So, and I say a fighting age, more than that overall. So to me, I'm going to give you a couple scenarios. It's funny, I talked to Mike Adams about this just incidentally just today. Excuse me. I think, Doug, that what we could be looking at here is the fact that we could de-evolve into a long-term Vietnam-style guerrilla resistance. And I just mentioned who the backbone of this would be, plus Americans that have had enough. We have 400 million guns. So literally, if you're going to subjugate America, do you agree with this? The other side would really have to start committing genocide because there's too much in the way of potential opposition.
I think there's more conservatives in the U.S. than there are left-wing extremists.
No question.
Especially, and you got to understand the swinging of that pendulum. There may be quite a few Democrats out there that have some really stupid ideas of how politics and you know, economy should work, or mm-hmm. you know, and they disagree with the basic fundamentals of life. But when the Russians invade, when the government turns tyrannical, a lot of those people who go, okay, I'm kind of left, kind of center, they're going to go center, and they're going to go, oh shit, I know nothing about guns, don't own guns, I need to be around guys with guns. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to swing over to our side, and they're going to say, protect me.
Yeah, there's already some indicators of that, Doug. I read a poll today. One-third of Democrats want Joe Biden impeached.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean they've done a complete flip, but it means the flip is in process.
Well, okay, one-third of Democrats say they want Joe Biden impeached, but yet they still support open borders and drugs on the streets. You know, they still support open child sacrifice with all the freaking abortion. You know, and
a percentage of them do. I would say a percentage.
Well, I mean, I say take it out. If you support the Democratic Party, you support Antichrist ethics. There's no other way. Yeah. There's no other way to say it. Christ is not for abortion, especially in the route that these people use. When I had Zachary King on my show, and Zachary King, a former high wizard who, you know, was a Satanist. He told me about how whenever he was a high wizard and acting as a wizard, that he would go to abortion clinics and he would perform satanic rites while the abortion is being done. Okay. So he was summoning dark powers while the blood of a child was flowing. This is supported by the Democratic Party. That is satanic. Period.
Point blank. Okay, I agree. But listen, to me, I think, and I'm not trying to give them a free pass. I'm saying a lot of them don't go down that avenue. And even when they hear about it, they engage in cognitive dissonance. Oh, that's just not true. That's right-wing propaganda. I don't think most Democrats openly support child sacrifice. I know there are some that do, but I don't think most do. I think that they're just turn a blind eye to the evils of their own party, and they don't want to hear about it.
I don't see at this point how you could not know it.
That's because you and I have a perspective from being enmeshed. But if you look at this, just look at some of the GOP people. People that profess to be conservative that don't know jack squat about what's going on.
Oh, don't even get me started about the Rhino Party. It's not the Republican Party anymore.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
it's the Rhino Party. Kennedy. What bill was it that Kennedy out of Louisiana is voting for now?
Oh yeah, it's for the JCPA, the Journalism Competition and Protection Act, which will effectively take people like me, Mike Adams, Breitbart, out of business. Censorship.
Yeah.
Censorship. You're right.
There's a reason for that. They don't want guys like us talking. They don't want this conversation to happen. You know what they want me and you to talk about? Dave, I'm telling you right now, they want me and you to talk about the upcoming Super Bowl. They want us to talk about what's happening on The View and Ellen DeGeneres and Joe Biden and how he mumbles. They want us to talk about everything that does not matter. You know, they don't want us to talk about guns. They don't want us to talk about tactics. They don't want us to talk about economy. They don't want us to talk about homeschooling. You know, they don't want us to talk about Jesus. Oh, you better not do that one. You know what, Dave, if you and I started recording our pets walking backwards with a tutu on. We'd get 1 million views, and then we'd probably be getting about 15 grand a month. And instead, you know, I make about this much off of YouTube because I refuse to do that. I get shadow banned seriously bad. Yeah.
Mike and I talked about that tonight too. Mike and I reach an estimated 1% of our potential audience because of the shadow ban. And I want to show you something that references what you just talked about. And I'm hoping that you can see this. Can you see this?
Yep.
See right here? This is what you're talking about, the Uniparty. There's your rhinos. There's your Satanist Democrats. They're all one big happy group, folks. This is why Dave Hodges called for the unelection of 99% of all Republican incumbents.
Oh, they're all buddies.
Start over.
They're all buddies.
Well, yeah, they are. They all hang out at the same perverted parties. So I just wanted to show that the Uniparty. It's just, I'll say it this way. They drink from the same trough. They take the same campaign donations from big tech and other similar interests. They pretend to go on Fox and, oh, yeah, we're doing something. John Kennedy from Louisiana is a fake. He's for censorship of America. Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader, has pulled funding from 8 senatorial candidates that are Republicans in races they could win. And he still won't release the funds, and he's bad-mouthing these candidates, saying, well, we just don't have the best candidates. He's sabotaging the election so the Democrats stay in control of the Senate. And that's because Mitch McConnell's wife, Pao, P-A-O, her parents control the 6 largest ports in communist China, and Mitch gets rollbacks with trading vessels, and he makes an estimated $20 to $25 million a year. That's why. That's why, Doug. These people are traitors. They have sold us out.
Well, I mean, speaking of, you know, sold us out, let's talk about what's happening in Ukraine right now. I got to find the overall cost, but it was just announced that we're going to give like another $4 billion to Ukraine. Yeah, so everybody, whenever you owe the government for your taxes, just know that they're trying to recover from how much they gave to Ukraine. You know, we got a lot of stuff happening in Ukraine right now. In the Kharkiv region, Russia is now still pushing into that western zone, and they're starting to come after it. I think still that Putin is going to have some sort of retribution about his number 3 guy's daughter being assassinated. Because I'm almost like 100% certain now that that was definitely a hit by the Ukrainians.
Oh, no question. There's no question about that. Doug, we don't really have time to go into that because that's a whole show into itself. And we're going to come back and do a show on this. But I just wanted to say that the story I'm getting and other people I talked to today, including I mentioned Mike Adams, we think a declaration of war against NATO could be coming from Russia in the next couple of days. And when that happens, then we need to come back in and explore this
in more detail. We'll pay attention to it. And I think it's true because the Zaporizhia plant, the only big nuclear plant that fuels most of Ukraine, is being shut down. It's in Russian command. And now we even have some of the Ukrainian hierarchy of their military saying that the plausibility of using small tactical nukes is now on the table.
Yeah, one of the brigadier generals said it, but so did Ukraine. A Ukrainian general said it too. So this is going to probably go nuclear. And I'll say this before we close. Europe is sacrificing millions of lives this winter because they can't cook or they won't have energy to heat their home in harsh winters. Millions could die. But the reason that these people are being sacrificed on the altar of climate change is because these EU leaders know that war is coming and what's going to happen to their people is going to be a hell of a lot worse than not having fuel. And I think that's where we're coming. We're going to come back and do a story on this. That declaration of war from Russia could happen as early as tomorrow. Actually, it could happen in a few hours from now with the time change. But anyway, Doug, I want to close it here. but because I want to save this topic for when we have more information. But I do appreciate getting your perspective of someone who's been in that military command structure and understanding how it works. And by the way, I'm upset by it, but I do think you're absolutely right. And I think Adam Hartage is right too. But I do think the veterans and the expelled soldiers over vaccines, we could see a resistance there, possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Hopefully we won't have to have any of that. This my biggest goal here is to just to tell people that you need to be prepared.
Yeah.
You need to stay prepared, train, prep, and pray, and watch the news because it's changing every 12 hours.
Yeah, no kidding. You nailed that phrase about 3 months ago, and it's true. We're not on a 24-hour news cycle now. We're on a 12-hour news cycle. But Doug, I'm glad we could go through this. We'll be back with more, ladies and gentlemen. This is just kind of a stopping point to be continued. Thanks for joining us.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.